Oh, the lesser used greeting. How is the world treating you? Used to hear that all the time. You don't hear it too much anymore. But there's even a lesser used greeting than that. It's the greeting among psychiatrists. You're okay, how am I? A few people got that. Charles, I appreciate your laugh on that. But that second greeting, how's the world treating you? You know, that's a very perceptive question for us as believers to answer. How is the world treating you? You know, the answer to that question that you may give reveals a lot of your spiritual status in this world. Because you see, from the very beginning of the church, the world has never been a friend of the gospel. And people have suffered and died and been persecuted, ostracized for the sake of the gospel and nothing else. And in fact, it has been estimated that the century prior to this one, the 20th century, there were more Christians martyred for their faith than in any other century prior to that. Seems like the more developed we get, the more antagonistic the world becomes to the gospel. Now, in the Gospel of John, beginning at chapter 15, you have the apostle, the Lord Jesus in his upper room ministry and discourse, giving the disciples relationships, instructing them on their relationships prior to his going back to the Father by way of the cross. And in chapter 15, he starts out with the disciples' relationships to him. They are to Jesus like branches connected to the vine, where Jesus said in verse 1, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then the second relationship he spoke about is the relationship of believers with one another, as because of Jesus as their friend. The relationship of believers among one another because of being friends of Jesus. And that is, we are to love one another. As Jesus said in both John 15, verse 12, and verse 17. Now, beginning in verse 18 of this chapter, Jesus talks about the relationship of believers to the world. And that relationship is one of responding to the world's hostility. Let's read the entire passage, which is something we don't ordinarily do, because throughout the message, we're going to just be picking out select verses from the context here to talk about. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause.
But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. There are three concepts we need to center our thinking around when we look at being witnesses in a hostile world. First of all, we need to see the reaction of the world to us. And in these verses, we discover four reactions of the world to us as believers. Notice, first of all, as it begins in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We experience the hatred of the world. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, notice what John says in his first epistle about this. And I'm seeing a shaking head going on. I tell you what, this service is just a train wreck. 1 John 3:13. We'll go ahead and put that up for the second service. If you want to see a smoother running service, stay for the second one. I'll have my mic and we'll have all the verses and it'll be good. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. It should come to us as no surprise. Now, it's interesting. If you give generic God talk in our world, that's fairly acceptable. People are okay with that. But when you narrow the focus to Jesus, watch out. You will be subject to the hatred of the world. But notice, secondly, not only is it the world's hatred, but persecution. In verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. The word persecution literally has the idea of to chase after, to pursue. And what a beautiful picture involved in the very life of Christ. Seemed like every place he went, everywhere he spoke and he taught or he performed a miracle, there were those chasing after him, looking at everything he did to find an occasion to accuse him. In the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. I almost hesitated to say that for fear it would not be here. Notice what Jesus says. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now notice in verse 11 especially, if you could pull that back up, Jackie. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. Notice the kind of persecution Jesus is speaking about here. Reviling, uttering all kinds of evil against you falsely. He's not talking about being beaten publicly. He's not talking about being martyred, being put to death as part of the persecution. He's talking about verbal persecution. Hey, you know, we talk about here, living here in America, man, we're not persecuted like the people are in the rest of the world. And in a great sense, that's true. But in the sense of the Beatitudes here, we are. You as a believer and I as a believer either have or we will be subject to the barbs and the taunts and being made fun of by the people of the world. That's the persecution we undergo. The exact same kind of persecution Jesus suffered while he was alive on this earth. But notice the third kind of persecution, the third response of the world's hostility to us. In chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, ostracism. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. To be put out of the synagogue in this day and time meant you were cut off from all social discourse. You were kind of looked upon and looked down upon as someone unworthy of entering into the life of the Jewish nation. That's why being put out of the synagogue was such a terrible thing for the people living in Jesus' day. That's why many people would not confess Jesus as Messiah, because they were fearful of being put out of the synagogue. In John chapter 12, verse 43, we get a commentary on these kind of people. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Do you know someone who claims to be a Christian? Maybe it's at work. And they're one way in church or among a group of Christians, but they're totally different among the people with whom they work. I call them chameleon Christians. You know what a chameleon does? Changes colors to match the background in which it finds itself. And chameleon Christians change their colors to match whatever place they find themselves in, because they don't want to be ostracized. The fourth response of the world to us, we see in the second half of verse 2, death. Indeed, Jesus said, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. This was true of Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, Saul is giving his own testimony about his life before meeting Jesus. And he says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, Jerusalem, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women. And Paul wrote elsewhere, I believe it's in the book of Galatians, that he advanced more in Judaism than everyone else. All of his contemporaries, because of his persecution of the church, even to death. There are Christians in the Middle East facing this very issue today, aren't there? Christians in the country of Afghanistan, who is just a whisper from being martyred simply because they're Christians. It has been that way since the beginning of the gospel. One of the most challenging magazines that I receive is The Voice of the Martyrs. How many of you get that? Raise your hand. Oh, folks, you need to get and read that magazine. Every month, my faith is challenged by reading the testimonies of different people around the world who have suffered for the cause of Christ. This month's article featured Ibrahim, a Somali Christian, which is a very unusual thing because, as far as Somali is concerned, to be a Somalian means you're a Muslim. But Ibrahim became a Christian, and he's now well into his 80s. And part of the article reads like this: over the years, Ibrahim has been shot, stoned, and arrested twice. He has shared the gospel from the bed of a truck, from the pulpit of numerous churches, at large outdoor gatherings, and in one-on-one conversations. He has watched authorities and extremists cancel or shout down his evangelistic meetings. And the last time he was pelted with stones was just 5 years ago, long after his 80th birthday. Ibrahim views his suffering not as extraordinary, but merely as the expected consequence of following Christ. When a visitor suggested that Ibrahim had experienced a lot of suffering during his Christian walk, he quickly replied, "Not nearly enough compared with Christ's suffering for me." Hatred, persecution, death. Those are manifestations of the world's hostility. But folks, that's also the reason for Jesus saying in verse 17 of this chapter, just prior to talking about the world's hostility against us, "These things I command you, so that you will love one another." You see, folks, the reason that disharmony in a church is so devastating is because this place ought to be a sanctuary. We're getting beat up all the time out in the world. We're being reviled, spoken of evilly because of our relationship to Jesus. And when you come to church, man, that ought to be a place where you find love and healing and acceptance among the brothers and sisters in Christ. But when you got Christians butting heads one against another, whether it's in the meeting or on Facebook, where do we go? Where else do we go for help and for hope? That's why Jesus said, "No, love one another." So why all this hostility? The second concept to wrap our minds around is the reasons for the world's hostility against us. And you will notice in this passage three occurrences of the word because. Jesus says this and this and this because. Be even good in your Bibles to circle them or underline them or highlight them in some way. Notice, first of all, right from the very beginning, verses 18 and 19, the reasons for the world's hostility against us is because we don't fit in their system. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Why are we hated by the world? Because we are a square peg in their round hole. We just don't fit the worldly mindset, the worldly philosophy, the world's system. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we are told what that world system is. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The world system is that satanically energized organization that is contrary to God and the things of God and the Word of God and the people of God. And so because we don't fit in the system, we're hated. Notice the second reason for the world's hostility against us. In verses 21 and 22, because we expose their sin. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Folks, no one enjoys having their sin exposed. Even Christians. Have you ever had another brother or sister in Christ kind of come alongside you and confront you about a sin? Confront you about an inconsistency? Not just a brother or sister. How about a lost person coming up to you as a Christian and confronting some inconsistency on your behalf? Ooh, that's really humbling. Back when I worked in the paint factory, there was a guy by the name of Jack Strominger. And I don't know how the conversation went, but Jack was complaining about our foreman and something the foreman asked him to do that Jack felt was really pretty stupid. And so he was, you know, yammering on to me about it. And I said, well, Jack, you know, we are supposed to be in submission to those in authority over us. And so, you know, I, as a Christian, if Jack told me to do something dumb, I would go ahead and do it because he's my boss. You know, I thought I was being this cool Christian and giving this little backdoor witness to Jack Strominger, who was an unsaved man. About 15 minutes later, Jack came up to me and he said, "So, Larry, what you're telling me is that as a Christian, if Jack gives us a verbal command, for lack of a better word, we're supposed to do it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what does our handbook, employee handbook, say about our break times? How long are they supposed to be?" Kind of ducked my head and said, 10 minutes. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, 10 minutes long. And he said, "I know you're just like everybody else, and you're in that break room 15 to 20 minutes. Don't you think a written command is more binding than a verbal command?" Well, he got me, didn't he? I said, "Jack, you're right." And from then on, I tried, let's use that word, my best to limit my breaks to 10 minutes long. In fact, I would come into the break room and there were guys that were already there on their break. I would go my 10 minutes, I'd get up and leave, and they were still sitting there. Well, you know what kind of response that brought. They were not real happy with yours truly. But hey, blame Jack Strominger. You know, the guy that's sitting right there. Looks like Santa Claus. Had a big old burly beard and big old belly. Nobody wants their sin exposed. But notice in this verse, the world's hatred toward Jesus is being redirected toward us. They can't express their hatred directly to Jesus, and so they express it toward us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The reason for the world's hostility against us is because we don't fit their system and because we expose their sin. But notice thirdly, in chapter 16, verse 3, "And they will do these things because they have not known God." They have not known the Father nor me. The reason for the world's hostility against us is they do not know God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 is a great verse, kind of in a good news, bad news kind of verse. First half of the verse is the good news. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So why is the world hostile against us? We don't fit its system. We expose its sin. And they don't know God. But then notice thirdly, and this is probably the most important part of the message, so don't check out on me now, okay? Hang with me on this third point. And that is our response to the world's hostility against us. How should we respond? Very simply, one word: witness. It's interesting that the Greek word translated witness is also translated martyr. In fact, the Greek word, if you transliterate the letters, spells martyr. And that is a way down through the centuries believers have witnessed to their faith. But notice three things about our witness. Number one, our witness is to the world, our witness is of the Son, and our witness is in the Spirit. Notice in verse 22, our witness is to the world. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 23, whoever hates me hates my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. Notice two actions Jesus points out in these verses. First of all, our words, our verbal witness. Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have not had any excuse for their sin. And then secondly, their action, their works witness. If I had not come, verse 24, and done among them the works that I did, they would not be guilty of sin. And you know what, folks? We have the same two areas of witness. Our words, what we say, and our works, what we do. In fact, our works, many times, gives us the platform upon which we can speak our witness to them. Basically, the world says to us as believers, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. And so our works provide for us that platform to speak the words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Peter says to a bunch of persecuted Christians in his day, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Our words are verified by our works. So if you're just coming up blind and a person doesn't know you from Adam's house cat, and you're going to witness to that person, don't be surprised if they shut you down. But if you've got a neighbor who's going through a difficult time, and you come over and maybe mow their grass without being asked, you bring them something to eat, you minister to them in a physical way, don't be surprised if they even ask you, why are you doing all this for me? Nobody else in the street's doing these things. Why are you doing this for me? Boom, right there, the open door. Because I'm a Christian, and that's what Christians are supposed to do. Are you a Christian? Then you just take it from where the Holy Spirit leads. Friends, our witness is, number one, to the world. Secondly, our witness is of the Son. In verses 26 and 27, notice what the scripture says. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Folks, we need to remember that our witness is about Jesus. It's not about your church. It's definitely not about your pastor. It needs to be about Jesus. You don't need to witness to people about our music and our worship, as wonderful as it is. Your witness is about Jesus. Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for their sins. Jesus is the one we need to talk about. And thirdly, our witness is in the Spirit. Same two verses. Chapter 15, 26 and 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you also will bear witness. You see, folks, witnessing is simply sharing Christ in the power of the Spirit and leaving the results with God. Now, that definition came from Bill Bright, not from Larry Green, so it's something worthy to be take note of. Sharing Christ in the power of the Spirit. Having that sense that the Holy Spirit is leading that conversation to speak about Jesus. Having the sense that the Holy Spirit is giving you the words to speak to that person. Being under his control, sensitive to his prompting. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It's not some mystical manifestation. It means to simply be under the Spirit's control. Being filled with the Spirit, as Sumner Wemp says, is not putting gas in your tank, but rather it's putting a driver behind the wheel. The Spirit is controlling your life and directing and leading in that engagement. And so, our response to the world's hostility is we witness about Jesus to the world of the Son in the Spirit. We are witnesses in a hostile world. Hey, Christian, how is the world treating you? Hated? Persecuted? Ostracized? Well, none of you have been martyred yet because you're here. May come that way, down that way sometime. Or can it be you're so much like the world that they would chuckle if you were to tell them you were a Christian? My lost friend, you may be sitting here thinking, well, man alive, who wants this? I mean, who wants to live in a world where you're hated, persecuted, ostracized, maybe even killed? Just let me gently remind you, the smile of God on your life is worth far more than the frowns of the world. And would you rather endure the persecution of the world for a little while, or the judgment of God for all eternity? That's the choice you make. So yes, to follow Jesus is to follow sometimes a very hard path. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Just ask a man like Ibrahim, who I read about earlier in the service. He does not regret one iota his walking with and serving Jesus all these years. Let's pray together, then we'll worship. And at the close of the service, if you need to respond, Pastor Brian will be in the prayer room, be glad to pray with you, talk with you out of the scriptures, however God leads. Father in heaven, thank you so much for these words that help us right here and now in living our lives. Because all of us, to some degree, face the hostility of the world. And Jesus, you have prepared us for that by your words of truth this morning. Lord, I thank you for them. I pray that Christians who are going to face persecution somehow, some way this week will be encouraged and be enabled to withstand it and to witness in the midst of it because they heard your word today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.